is that we have to understand that God wants to bless us. He has a vision for our lives. Okay? He has an unbelievable vision for each person. We looked at Chronicles where it says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and to do you good. That's what God says. Okay? For God so loved the whole earth that he gave. That's his very character. He loves you, loves the world, and his instinct, his character, who he is, he wants to give blessing. And he's got a vision for your life. That no matter if you start off in Egypt, he says to the children of Israel, you're in slavery, you're in a really bad place, but do not worry, I've got a place for you. A land flowing with milk and honey. It's like Jesus saying to the disciples, I am going ahead of you to prepare a place. God is always ahead of you, preparing a place for you to walk into. And when you walk into it, it's a place of blessing. It's restoration and healing and redemption and all these things. Isn't it wonderful that God is always one step ahead of you? Isn't it wonderful? You never have to worry about what you're going to step into because you know God is already there, waiting to perform everything he has. You don't have to be top of the class. Hannah's done very well in German and psychology and got a first degree honours. I am not a first degree honours student. But God loves me. Hey! All right? I haven't got that piece of paper. I've got a higher national diploma in business and finance. You don't even know what one of those is. It's beneath the clouds. And if you keep going and hit the ground and drill right down into the middle, that's where a HND is. So far below you, Hannah, honestly. Okay? But guess what? God's got a plan to prosper me and to do me good. Okay? Isn't it brilliant? It doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian 1 second. It doesn't even matter if you're a Muslim. It doesn't matter. God's got a plan for you. A plan to bless you and to prosper you. It doesn't matter whether you've been out of prison. I'm not looking at anybody. 2 seconds ago. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Whether you sing with like the tongues of angels or you're a United fan. It doesn't matter. God's got a plan to prosper you and to do you good. One day you will win the league again. Possibly. Maybe. But isn't this wonderful? You don't have to sacrifice chickens. You don't have to sacrifice an ox. You don't have to, like they did in the Old Testament, take your own child and throw it in the flames like the god of Molech. You don't have to flagellate. Cut yourselves to ribbons. There are people, even in the 20s, Shia Muslims, with chips, blood to show their devotion. Because if they show their devotion, then maybe God will love you more. No, you don't. God loves you. It's unchanging. The Bible said, God changeth not. Isn't that wonderful? So here's this vision. And he says to the children of Israel, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. And last week we worked out this just one simple thing. All we've got to do is say, Amen. Is accept it. It's a free gift. Whether it's the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, or whether it's anything else to do with God, you just have to say, Amen. Let it be so. So I'm going. Let it be so, I go. That's all we learnt last week. In the New Testament, Jesus says to the disciples, go into the world. He says to Moses, I am sending you, so now go. He sends the 72 in to go out and minister to people. He says, go. They had to accept what Jesus said. They had to accept what God said. But as soon as they said, Amen, let it be so, the next thing is a step. Is a step. It's a step of faith. When he speaks to Moses here, it's easy for us in history looking back because we know. Part of the hardest thing about, and I was taught years ago, and it's really good, try and read the Bible as if you've never heard it before. Take a second of time to put your feet into Moses' feet now. You have been walking around the desert for 40 years chasing sheep. The last time you were in Egypt, you murdered someone and buried them in the ground. You're a murderer. And yet, this is what happens. And if you can just capture that, you'll get some of the shock and awe that Moses had. I'll still tell you now, born again, spirit-filled Christians still have shock and awe when God turns up. It's funny. You'd think we know. But sometimes when God takes our breath away by turning up in miraculous ways, even though we know God, you still have those wow moments. Yeah, looking by your face, you haven't had one for a while. I'm going to pray for you a lot that you get some wow moments. You need some wow moments. If this is the level of your wow about God, then your wow is a whoa. Now, I fly by wire, you know that I don't preach with notes, and I'm just going to rephrase that because I love it when God just speaks to me. You have two choices as a Christian. You either have a wow or a woe. Satan will do everything he can to make God's all power, almighty God, become a woe. He wants to put the brakes on what you think about God. Woe. Slow it down so you don't get excited about God. You don't get excited about getting up in the morning reading your Bible. You don't get excited about spending time in the presence of God. Okay? Because Satan will do everything he can to make sure your wow becomes a woe. Amen? Amen. There was a verse, we sung it in here, and it stood out to me this morning. We come with our songs of salvation. When was the last time you sung about your salvation? Sing about your salvation. That a joy comes up and we start to sing about our salvation. I'm saved. I'm not going to hell because of Jesus Christ. And it stirs. Each one of us has got a song of salvation. And Satan wants to box that off. Cool it down. Woe is me. Woe is me. Woe is me. Instead of wow is God. Wow is God. Wow is God. Amen? So here's Moses. Let's read it from verse 7 of chapter 3. When people, if you ever get that question as a Christian, if God so loves the world, why does he come and do something about it? Do you remember that one? If there is a God of love, why does he let all these things happen? He doesn't. He wants to intervene. God doesn't pull the trigger. Men do. Okay? And he says this. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because they're slave drivers. And I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down. You see the movement of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus came down. It's the same principle. God cares and wants to intervene in your life, the lives of your family, the lives of our community, the life of this nation, and the life of this world. God wants to intervene. And he's going to intervene with blessing, peace, joy, healing. So he says this to Moses. So I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians. Where does your rescue come from? God. It comes from God. Do you need rescuing? Do you phone the AA? No. Pray. Pray to God. The Almighty. All-seeing, all-knowing one. And he wants to become involved in your life. So I've come down from the hand of the Egyptians to bring them up into a land, into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. And now the cry of Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. There it is. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Okay? He's saying to Moses, go. Had Moses ever gone to Canaan before? It's not recorded in the Bible he'd ever stepped foot in the place. He'd never seen it. According to scripture, he'd never seen it. He might have heard things about it. That's not recorded. The Egyptians did a lot of trading, so chances are he might have heard of lands where there was this and that and the other. Okay. But he'd never physically been, according to scripture. Okay, here is a man who now God says go. He's ready to go. He's sick of the sheep, sick of the desert, sick of everything. He wants a fresh chance. He's got his second chance. He's got his second chance. Oh, for a second chance in life. Yet to my age, you whiz round and think, oh, if I could only have done that again. All right? Imagine having a second chance. This boy's got a second chance now. He's not a boy, he's a man. He's quite old, actually. And here's the deal. He's now got to go. Now, if God had told you to go, or me to go, I would have a list of questions, wouldn't you? Where, how long is it going to take, what do I need to pack, blah de blah de blah, etc., etc., etc. If you're going on holiday at the moment, you're probably going through your checklist of what do I need to take, what do I need to take. Now, this guy is now being told, instructed by God, I have a vision, and I need you to go and walk into it. Okay? Each one of you here has a vision from God. God's got a vision for you, and you are going to have to go from where you are into where the vision is. This is all the way through Scripture. God doesn't say to his people, you stay exactly where you are, you don't have to do a thing, and I'm going to bless you anyway. No. God always says, go. Take a step. Take a step. You've got to step into it. Peter, when he sees Jesus walking on the water, what does he have to do? Steps out of the boat. When Peter is by the Galilee Sea, and Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. There's the vision. I will make you fishers of men. Do you remember it? What did he have to do? It says he got up and left his net and followed Jesus. This is the eternal exchange. Here's the vision. Go. Come to me. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's the vision. Rest. What do you have to do? Come unto me. Leave the place of burden and walk to me, and I will give you rest. You will see this method, this law, all the way through. All the way through the Bible. There is a part for us to play. We live in a society where we can just pick the phone up or even app. Okay? App. And ding dong, 20 minutes later, Domino's pizza's there. We don't have to cook it. We don't have to find the food. We don't have to do anything. Think of our forefathers chasing dinosaurs. Okay? We can just go click, 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 bang. And there's even a little dial that goes click, 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 click. And it goes ping. And the next minute the doorbell goes and there's a guy delivering your pizza. Isn't that amazing? There's no app for God. I just want to say, if you keep pressing your mobile phone, there's no app for God. Dear God, I want every single blessing you've got for me. I'm just going to press this button, watch the timer, and then about an hour later, ping, Gabriel's at the door. Message for you, here's the blessing. It doesn't work like that. No character in the Bible ever had that. And my experience of reading the lives of most Christians, there is this relationship with God. God says, follow me. Follow me and step out. So we're going to look at, how do you step? Did Moses know where he was going? No. Did he know what was all entailed? No. Did he know how long it was going to take? No. It's a faith journey. But how do you know the first step you're going to make is the right one? How do you know the first step? There are loads of people, and even in Jesus' time, in Acts of the Apostles' time, there were loads of people running around saying they'd heard from God. I've been a pastor 20 years nearly and soon, and I've met so many people hearing from God. Everybody hears from God. Which is really fascinating, because half the time they don't actually agree. If everybody was hearing God, why is the church such in a mess? Okay? There's people doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that. There's even psychopaths in prison that said, God told me to kill someone. How do you know when you take a step that that's the right step? Now, I don't know about you, but on my phone, I have an iPhone 7 battered, dropped, but not smashed yet, which is really good. Okay, I got this on my phone the other week. It's one of these step things. You're supposed to walk a number of steps. Okay? I don't know about you, I just don't get under law on this. It's just I've got to get a bit more active. Yeah, it's getting there. Don't laugh at me, Rubes. It's getting there. Rubes is just checking. He went, I think you might need to walk a few more, Pastor. I think you might have to walk up. I've lost nearly a stone. I'm getting there. Okay, but what they say is walking steps and being active is good for you, isn't it? Do we all agree with that? Okay? Walking some steps and being active is good for you. Yep? Why? Because it does you good. Because your body was designed for it. It's great. It gives it some exercise, a good diet, and healthy exercise, and you narrow down the chances of things going wrong. Amen? Do you agree? Yes. Hang on a minute. Isn't that the same in the spirit? So if you want to have a healthy walk with God, don't you need exercise? We need exercise. We can't just sit there and go, oh, I'll go on then. I want to be a great theologian and preach like, I don't know, but I never read the Bible. So I've got this step thing. And what it does is it politely comforts me, encourages me to keep going. Okay? So if it is the same in the spirit as the thing, how do you know? You've got to take steps, but how do you know the step you're taking is right? Because what I did find on my phone, and James switched it off for me, was I had GPS on my phone. Has anybody got GPS on the phone? It's great. It means if you get lost, it's brilliant. I've got a map. Shall I put my map on? Let me have a look. Oh, eyes, has see. Right, I've got my map here. See my map? There's my map on my phone. Okay, so if we zoom in, I'm in a place called Onchan. Okay. Right, I'm going to have to do this. I'm that age. Yep, I know. Right, we are... Oh, there's the arrow. Can you see the big blue arrow? And you know if I turn around, it moves. Great, fantastic. Okay, right. We are next to a place called... Whoa, we're actually on here. Elam Family Centre is on the... Yes, we exist. This is not a figment of your imagination. We exist. It says so. And the arrow says that actually I'm in the back garden, which we're close enough, aren't we? We're close enough. Maybe that's wishful thinking. I wish I was in the back garden. There we go. Okay, here's the thing. Okay, and that's run off GPS. So not only have I got lots and lots of steps, but this thing keeps a note on where I am, which is really good, especially if you're up near the Len or somewhere like that, where the only signpost in the north of the island is Andreas 2.25 miles. Have you ever been up there? Ella got lost up there once. She got lost for 3 hours, and I got this very frantic phone call. She'd completely lost her rag by that time. She said, every single sign says Andreas 2.25 miles. And she'd gone round and round and round, and she said, you're in Peel, come and rescue me. And I was in Peel. I was having a cup of tea. I was on the armchair. So I thought, rescue my wife? If my wife doesn't know where she is, how would I know where she is? So there I am with a cup of tea, with my feet up, watching the telly, and I said, sweetheart, what's the time? And she said, it's 7 o'clock. Right, stop the car, get out the car. So she stopped at the car. I said, right, well, what help is that? I said, now turn round, where's the sun? I said, face the sun. So she said, the sun sets in the west. So whatever way that road is going, carry on going down that road until you get to a T-junction. And when you get to the T-junction, you need to go south. So head south. And just keep heading south. And then you'll hit Balaf, and then you turn right, and you come home. And in about 40 minutes, she came crashing through the door. Not with the car, she came crashing through the door. Okay? Number one, I was in trouble because I hadn't got in my car on driving to save her from where she was. But I knew exactly where she was, because I know my island. And I know which way south and north and east, and I know which way the sun sets. Okay? There are things around you that can tell you where you are, and they keep you safe. And I'm going to show you 3 verses in the Bible, and it's... Are you ready for this? This is really good. I don't usually do this, so if you're new here in the church, do not expect this every week, okay? And it makes the initials GPS. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? Isn't that trendy? Hezekiah is mildly impressed. Okay, not to first degree state. So you're ready, but how do you know the step you're going to make? You're going to step into something, not step off a cliff. Okay, you ready for this? Because no matter what you do in life, if you keep these 3 things in mind, the chances are you're not going to make a big mistake, number one. Number two, you're going to align yourself with the blessing. You're going to step into something not away from the blessing. God says to the children of Israel, I put before you a mountain of curse or a mountain of blessing. Please, blessing. And all the children of Israel ran to the blessing hill. Apart from one guy who didn't have his hearing aid in, and he went to the wrong one. Until someone got him and took him to the hill of blessing. And then everything was good. Amen. All right? So are you ready for this? Three verses. First one. What do you think the G stands for? Gosh, you're clever. That's amazing. What's the chances of that? We are going to look at Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 16. This is the G on your GPS. Because Moses didn't know where he was going, but he needed to make a move. So he needed to make sure that each movement took him towards what God had for him, not away from God. So this is it, okay? Verse, where are we? Proverbs 16, verse 9. Okay? Are we going to go for that? Are we able to do that? Yeah, Proverbs 16. Please, have I got the right one? This would be funny, wouldn't it? 16. Yes, it is 16 verse 9. There we go. Right, in his heart, okay, in his heart, this is every single one of you. I will ask what your plans are for your future, okay, but everybody's got plans. Okay, in his heart, a man plans his course, which direction he's going to go in, but the Lord determines his steps. Okay? The Lord determines his steps. Okay. Now, I just want to explain, because English might not be your first language, determine has a number of things. Okay? Determined. Okay? This might look like we are remote control robots. Okay? That man has a plan, and God goes, no, you're going that way. Alright? Determines it. Okay? In other words, God says, yo, you've got your plans. But whatever you decide, you're still going that way. You're still going that way. When I use this example. I was talking to someone in the week. I need my hair cut. You don't need to tell me. It's getting cut on Tuesday. Okay. When I was a kid, I used to go down and see there's a Greek barber in the village. His name was Chris. Flopadopoulos, or whatever his name was. It was a really long name. And he had those big red chairs in the barbers. I don't know where they had barbers in where you come from, but they always had red chairs. The proper man's barbers used to have red leather chairs. And if you're really small like me, they used to put a plank of wood across the arms, and you used to climb up and sit on the plank so you were the right level for the mirror. Okay? And then I remember, and I always remember he used to call me Young John, and he used to go, Young John, what would you like? It's 2 weeks before school, okay? What would you like? I'd say, well, Chris, I would like a little bit of this, and I've seen this footballer, and he's got his hair like that, and I'd like my hair like that, please. And I'm only about 6 or 7. And then he'd look over my shoulder, and my mum would just go. And the next minute, out came the clippers, and it was like, hair flying everywhere. And then I look at it, and I go, huh? That's nothing like I wanted. And Chris would go, is that all right, John? And I went, no. He went, oh, see if we can get it better right next time. All right, off you go, son. That is not what this verse means. It doesn't mean that we've got something, okay? We want something, we plan something, and then God goes, and your remote controlled move, because God will not cross your free will. He will never cross your free will. You can't have love and a smashing up of free will in the same sentence. Okay? God loves you. He will do everything he can to encourage you to take the right step. But it's still your choice. If you're ever in a position where someone says, I love you, only if the house is on fire and they've done this and you're in their arms and they're running down the stairs, okay, that's the only time you say, I don't care what I want, you just do what you want. You determine my steps. Other than that, so it's not that we're remote control. You don't lose your free will when you're a Christian, do you know that? You get a choice to be saved or not. You get a choice of salvation. You get a choice to accept it. And from every day onwards, you have a choice to follow God. This is a day in, day out, every day of the week, every hour of that day. That's why you see Christians move further on with God. You see people plateau with God. And you see people crash and burn. You find them years later. Where's your faith gone? It's lovely to see Hannah still have faith after 4 years of university and even being in Germany. Okay, the amount of prayers. At least I can get a night's sleep now you're back from Germany. Okay. The Lord determines his steps. What does that mean? If it's not remote control, what does it mean? It means that the blessing of God, he's determined how you get there. How you get there. He knows the way to blessing. Jesus said to John at Jordan, I need to be baptized. John the Baptist says, no way. No, so sorry. It's the wrong way round. You, Lord Jesus, should baptize me. And Jesus said, no, John, we must fulfill all righteousness. Okay? Agreed? He is of his own free will saying, we can only take righteous steps. We've got to take the right step. Because if we take the right step, then all the blessing is mine. If we don't take the right step, the blessing's not going to be mine. Okay? So there's a little bit of an argument. There's cousins, aren't they? I'd love to have actually listened to the conversation because I don't think it's the King James Version. The two cousins going, no way, no, yeah, no, yeah, no, yeah. And in the end, John submits. That was the verse my father usually used. In the end, John submitted. Why couldn't you call me Gareth or something? Okay? Oh, to be called John. No one gets called John anymore, have you noticed that? Okay? So here it is. There's an eye. So, if Jesus has fulfilled all righteousness, he's done things in the way that God determines, what's going to happen to Jesus now? Is he going to be blessed? Or is he going to be cursed? Come on. Blessed. So even if you didn't know the scripture, you would know immediately he has said, whatever God determines, I'm going to step in it. I'm going to go in that direction. I don't know what it means. Jesus did. But most of us have no idea. But he knows that's the way God's determined things should be. So it doesn't matter what I think. I'm going to go with God. The next verse says, then I saw heaven open. Well, you can guess what's coming. And the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove alight on him. And a voice from heaven saying, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. There it is, in law. I know we're Christians and we're saved by grace, but there are certain laws in the universe like gravity. You throw yourself off the top of a tower block, it doesn't matter how many hallelujahs you say on the way down. Even if someone's on floor 12 and you're flying past and they shout, how's it going? And you go, it's fine so far. We all know we're going to hit the ground. If you want God's blessing, this is the first part of your GPS. What does God determine that I should do? What does the Word of God say that I should do? And I might not see the outworking of my life, but that's good enough for me. I will step wherever that arrow says, this is it. Step. That's faith. Faith is doing it even though you don't see the outcome, but you know by doing it, you're going to increase the possibility that you're stepping into the blessing, not away from the blessing. You check your GPS. Where am I and where do I need to be? Which way am I facing? In the Garden of Gethsemane, here it is again. Okay. Jesus is sweating blood. He's having a physical brain hemorrhage. Hello? He is so used to doing it, he comes to the Father. Tomorrow he knows he's going to get crucified. My goodness me, I don't know what you've got in your diary for tomorrow, but the chances is it isn't crucifixion. But Jesus has lived such a disciplined life. Where did all the miracles come from? Was he super anointed more than me and you? No, he wasn't. But what he did say was this: I only do those things I see my Father doing. If he determines it, I will do it, because I know by doing it, I release the blessing. Jesus is in Gethsemane. He's going to be crucified. How on God's earth do you work that out in your head? Have you ever thought for one second what that would be like? I mean, I have people phone me up for prayer because they're going to the dentist in the morning. And that's fair enough for them. That is a near-death experience. And I understand the fear. I'm not poo-pooing it. I'm not putting it down. For them, that is really real. I've had to pray for people who were going on airplanes. I don't like flying. I'm so scared. For them, that's their day. But imagine for one second knowing that your back is going to be ploughed like a field. 40 Roman lashes. Now, as a bloke, as a man, what am I going to be like? It said before men were crucified. In England, years ago, we used to, if you did something really bad, you were executed. Sometimes even the strongest men would break down and cry for their mum. Some of them would faint on the scaffolding. I can say this because we're all adults. Some would even wet themselves and soil themselves. Here is Jesus. He's sweating blood. This guy's under pressure. But here it is. If this cup can be taken from me. You know the verse? Yeah? You with me? If it's down to what I determine should happen, I don't want this cup. But not my will, but your will be done. How many of us are Christians? You have to put your hand up, because if you're not, don't worry about it at the moment. We'll sort it out. In your heart, if you're a Christian, you need to thank God for that one moment. Because what Jesus determined to do determined on whether you were going to get salvation or not. And I'm going to tell you from a man, I'm a man, I still don't understand how he did it. I don't know what's going to happen in my life, but I hope I die well. I hope I'm not some wimpy Christian in the corner sucking my thumb. I'm going to go down swinging. Because my life determines, and this is the really serious thing, that's why it's gone quiet, and I'm not mucking about, because I don't believe God is. If Jesus hadn't been so determined to take God's footstep, I'd be going to hell. And here's the rub of the green. If I don't get my steps right, I might leave other people to go to hell. It's really important that we check what God determines we should do. We're born again by the Spirit of God, aren't we? I believe passionately in the Holy Spirit. I believe in words and knowledges and dreams and all the things that God gives them. But it's got to be rooted in the Word, not in our feelings. I feel. No, God's. What does God determine? What does the Word of God say? Paul says to Timothy, if you do continue in these teachings, it will save you and those who hear you. Elam Church in Onchan, we have a responsibility, not just for ourselves. I have a responsibility for each one of you, that I do not let you down. I am not perfect, and you know that. Most of my stress in my life is trying to make sure that I don't let you down. Because I know what I'm like. If it wasn't for God, I'd be feral. Goodness knows where I'd have been without God. I even frighten myself. But your lives are my responsibility. Their lives outside this window are our responsibility. We can't bring people into a position of blessing with God if we're not in that blessing. We can't. Because then we're hypocrites. Do what I say and not what I do. It's the biggest reason the Church of God does not move in great power in this particular century. If you go back through the century, the Word of God moves in great power. It changes nations. But the challenge to us is we only do those things. I discipline my life to make sure that I don't. Confessions of a Pastor, I'm a loud one, part 5,000,063, whatever I'm up to. Do I always do it? No. Have I got scars to prove it? Yes. Has it cost me? Yes. Has it cost my family? Yes. Has it cost other people? Yes. It costs. I am not maybe where I could be because of things that I've done. But I'm so glad I am where I am because of what He's done. GPS, before you take the step, does God determine it? Thou shalt not kill. Whoops, better go that way then. Love your enemies. Oh, yeah, I've got to go that way. To give those... Oh, God. Be generous in all the cases. And money, it's the last one. Oh, God. Okay, here's my experience. My dad was a minister, I grew up in a church, and I'll tell you this, you can never out-bless God. You can't out-bless Him. One of the greatest games, if you want to ever play, it's not a game, but you know what I mean, if you want to really dedicate your life to something, try and out-bless God. And however much you give it, you get it. How much you bless, you get blessed. And you think, oh, I'm going to get one up on tomorrow, I'm going to super bless someone for the sake of God. And you get, and the next day, you get blessed. You're like, oh, He's got me again, I'm going to bless. Try and out-bless God. Out-generous God. Out-time God. Out-love God. Try and do it. It's a great game. You never win. But I tell you one thing, you open up so much blessing. So has God determined it? The only way you'll know whether that God's determined it or not is to know the Word of God like the back of your hand. There's no easy way out of that. There's no super app. There's no brain download. You can't plug yourself in overnight. Okay? I'm really sorry. You've got to read your Bible every single day. And it's got to go in and go in and go in and go in and go in until it goes in. The Bible says this in John, and this is the key. It's not an academic exercise. It's this. In John chapter 1, it gives you the answer. You do it until it was the same for Jesus. The Word became flesh. We have to keep doing it until that Word becomes my flesh. So when the pressure's on, when everything's against me, I'll still take the right step. Because the Word of God has become flesh. What does my flesh think about that? We have a big argument. Paul says there's a war going on inside of me between the Spirit of God and my spirit. My flesh wants me, 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 me. The Word of God says God. Praise God for Jesus. Because Jesus on the Garden of Gethsemane, His flesh said, if this cup can be taken away from me, I don't want to get crucified in the morning. Amen? But, there's the but. He was king and power over His flesh to say, that's what my flesh wants, but not my will, your will. You determine my step. What do you want me to do? There's 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that says He has to come, has to be born, has to die for salvation. So that's the way it is then, Lord. Yes, it is. Follow me. Amen. The Word became flesh. The biggest battle we'll have in Christianity, and the reason you don't get blessed, and I don't get blessed, and the church doesn't get blessed, and this nation of ours doesn't get blessed to the capacity, is that somewhere between our flesh and God's spirit, there's a war. And we can't seem to kneel on it and say, Lord, you determine my steps, not me. Because look, in his heart, where's the seat of your soul? In your heart. Where's the seat in your flesh? Your heart. The Bible says the heart is the most deceitful thing of all. I want, I want, I want. In his heart, a man plans his course. He says, in my heart, me and my soul will get down together and we decide what we want to do with our life, what we want to do with our money. I'm going to do this, 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 and then I'm going to do this because it will prove a blessing to me. I bless me. Sorry for being so straight, but I'm telling you, I'm fighting for you. I'm fighting for me. We know blessing. We know what blessing is. We want to get blessed. And so we determine in our heart the actions that lead to a blessing for me. Whereas God's cleverer than me because he says, if you do the way I do it, not only are you blessed, but everybody else gets blessed at the same time. Is this not the way the world's going? The world says in its heart, I'm going to plan my course without God. This is what I'm going to do because I'm going to do this because I'm going to get something out of it because it's all about me. I plan my career, I'm going to work 2 days here, I'm going to move this. I am going to give up my Sundays to go and get an extra shift because if I get an extra shift then I can go on holiday and I can. It's all about me. And good for you. Good for me. I'm blessed, bully for you. But what about everybody else? Some kid takes a knife out in London. He wants to be part of a gang. So he steps out and he stabs another guy so he can get accepted into this gang. So I am now part of this gang. Hasn't it gone really well? But the other kid's bleeding on the ground and dies. And we look at that and say how horrific it is, and it's unbelievable. Imagine the mum. When the kid doesn't come home, come in 2 weeks. You'll hear a testimony about a mother receiving a phone call that her son is not coming back because some kid stabbed him. If you've never had that phone call, I don't wish it on you. We, as individuals, as human beings, are becoming completely self-obsessed. What I get out of it, what I get out of the government, what I get out of church. I don't go to church anymore because I don't get anything out of it. What? When was the last thing you put something in it? Oh, I can't be bothered witnessing to people anymore. We live in a post-Christian society. They don't want to know about God. They're going to hell. They might not want to know about him now, but they'll find out about it later. All about me. God's house, my house. God's finances, my finances. God's passion for my passion. This is the greatest battle, honestly. Proverbs is round about the middle of the Bible, and I'm going to tell you, if you've got one hinge on which mankind spins on, it's this. This either opens doors or it shuts doors, this one. And here's the door of blessing. God says, do things that I determine. The other two are really simple. I've made a huge thing on this one because it's foundational. But here's the other two. The GPS. 1 Peter 2:21. 1 Peter 2:21. 1 Peter 2:21. Do you know that verse that says a threefold cord can't easily be broken? Okay? In science, if you've got any scientists, if you want to know about where you are, you want this thing called triangulation. See? Might have a HND, but I knew some things. Okay. Triangulation. Okay, on the top of Snaefell, have you ever seen these triangle pieces of concrete? They're called trigonometry point, triangulation. It means you can get a distance from there and a distance from there, and you can do the math, and you know exactly where you are. You can tell what height something is and how much distance you are. They're called triangulation points. If you get these three verses right, you have a triangulation point. Measure it by that, measure it by this, measure it by that, you're on the right place. So this is verse number 2. Okay? Peter, 1 Peter 2:21 says this, and it's really easy and very, very short. Peter says this, to this you were called. Remember that calling? You said amen and went. So you're called to this. Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. So step number one is it determined by God? Is it allowable? Is it God's will? If it isn't, don't do it. Second one, can you imagine Jesus taking the step you're just about to take? Can you imagine seeing you're following Jesus? So could you see Jesus take the step that you're just about to take? So you know God said, but here's another one, just to double check that you're going in the right direction for blessing, would Jesus do it? The kids used to have these little rubber bands. It used to be a wristband. It used to be trendy once, many moons ago. And they would have this on their wristband, WWJD. What would Jesus do? So you have a choice. You have a choice. You've got free will. You know what the Bible says. Can you imagine Jesus taking the step that you're just about to take? And if you can't, don't. It can be very simple things. Boys or girls, late at night, television's on, flick a channel. We're going to go and watch a film. Would Jesus be in that auditorium watching the film? Would he be sat on the sofa watching that? If he was tapping away on his laptop, would he actually be on that site at this time? Would the motive or the thing you're just about to do, would Jesus actually do that? Because Peter's saying, you're chosen, there's a chosen way. And the chosen way, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. I don't know where this is leading. I'm walking in faith, but would Jesus do it? And I would humbly say, if you can't imagine Jesus doing it, at least pause. Don't step into it. Now, depending on your spirituality, now you can see if you've got the Word behind you, and you know the Word, that's why most of the Scripture, if you read it, it's completely predictable. Once you know the character of God, and you know these methods and laws in the Bible, you know what's going to happen before it happens. Okay? Because God doesn't change. So if you know that, that's going to save you on that first step. And secondly, the more you know about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you read him, not what you think he said, but what he actually said. You see, you're not planning it on feelings anymore. One of the things that's come into the church in the last 30 or 40 years, since 1970s, when the charismatic movement and the move of the Spirit came back into the church in a big way, is everybody went and accepted the Holy Spirit afresh. And it's lovely when the Holy Spirit comes in and the gifts are released and it's fine. But here's the thing, you've got to watch it. There was a time 15 or 20 years ago, there were people clucking like ducks saying it was God. I was in a service once when someone went moo really loudly and then said the Holy Spirit made him do it. I'm not a world expert on these things, but shouldn't everything we do bring glory to God? Shouldn't everything we do focus people on God? Well, by the time this guy sounds old MacDonald had a farm, no one was concentrating on the verses or anything else going on in that church. Because they're all banging on about this guy mooing at the top of his voice, saying the Holy Spirit was giving him a word from God, because he felt. This is how you weigh things. It says, even in the end times, hello, church, listen to me because it's really serious. It says, in the end times, even the elect will be deceived. Be careful. The Word of God is sacrosanct. It is everything. Once you know the Lord Jesus Christ, reading the Gospels, you get to know him so well that you would know him, what he was going to do before he does it. He wouldn't talk to someone like that. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't be selfish. He wouldn't be this. He wouldn't be that. He wouldn't be the other. You know him so well. And then you've got the first step. God's determined it. That's fine. Could I see Jesus doing it? Yes. Brilliant. The last one I'll give you. Because that one's pretty obvious, isn't it? But how often do you get in a mess and you realise that Jesus wouldn't have been anywhere near that situation, yet here you are. I mean this, Lord Jesus. You know, when I say people, I mean me. Is that alright? Because I've had people go and get me. But I would say 50% of my job is with a big shovel and a black bin bag going to rescue people. And my first question is, what God said to Adam, what are you doing here? It seemed good to me. Nothing changes. When Adam sinned, where did God say? Where was he? In the bushes. Where should he have been? Walking with God in the cool of the evening. And what did Adam, what did God say? Adam, where are you? I think that's what God said to every generation, every Christian ever since. Whenever I've got myself in a mess, that's the first thing God ever says to me is, John, what on earth are you doing here? Didn't I leave you over there? Haven't I spoken to you? What would Jesus do? Do you not? How on earth did he get? And then in brackets again. You notice you would never do it once. Well, sometimes you do it once. If it's something like me, you have your little pet things, don't you? This is the last one. And it comes from Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. And I've done it in this way because this is how you build it up. It's the word of God first. Then the word becoming flesh, which is Jesus Christ. And just because you think if I've gone raving mad and I'm not a Pentecostal anymore, I'm going to introduce the Holy Spirit. Is that alright? Because this is the last verse to do with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 and 25 says this. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is the last time Christians get it wrong. Okay? These are things that get it wrong. You know it's permissible. God's determined it, so it's fine. Okay, it's fine. Okay, number two, you can see Jesus doing it. Jesus did these things, so I'm going to do it. Okay, so that's fine. There's your second check. But your third one is being led by the Spirit. And this is the difficult one. Because to understand the work of the Holy Spirit, you've got to get to know the Spirit really well. And this one is doing things, have you noticed, in step with the Spirit. It means it's all about timing. It's all about the timing and the volume. I'll tell you this last little story. I used to be in an orchestra years ago, and I used to be in the percussion section. And one day there was this piece of music, and it had it was about 150 bars of rest. There was nothing to do. But then at one point, it was my time to shine with the cymbals. You just had to go once, and you had to do all this counting for ages and ages. And lo and behold, if you're one bar too soon, you're in trouble. Okay, you've got to land it. You've got to land it well. And then just to make you laugh. I was only small, and the cymbals were nearly as big as me. And they had this staging, artificial staging, you know, where they just bring it in and bring it out. And I didn't know there was a gap about that much at the back. So I was ready, and I was getting nervous. And when I get nervous, even when I preach, if you notice, I walk. I move. I can't find it very hard to stand still. And so I did this and did this and fell off the back of the stage with the cymbals. So there was almighty great big crash, bang, wallop of these cymbals going off, and I was at least 20 bars too soon. Okay, and then of course I had to put one on, and on the one on the stage, and then climb on the stage and stand up as if nothing had happened. By that time, the whole place had fallen to bits laughing, and then the moment came, and I went, and everybody laughed even more because it was funny. Okay, Mr. Holden, the music teacher, never, ever, ever forgave me for that moment, and God rest his soul. I probably shortened his life, I think. But this is what the Holy Spirit does. There are sometimes the church knows their Bible. They know what Jesus would do. And when the timing comes, we're either too heavy, or we're too slow, or we're too fast. And it's like we smash the cymbals in the wrong place. God's determined. Jesus is our example. And then when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it says very clearly, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step. It's like getting in step. It's not walking at your own pace. It's walking at the pace of the Holy Spirit. Because it'll save you and it'll save those who hear you. If you're praying for people at the moment to come through for salvation, don't seal the deal. I've been praying for 2 years. This is the moment. I've got to get it over and done with. How many more times do you want to share the gospel? You're getting saved today whether you want to get saved or not. I'm going to bludgeon you into the kingdom. I'm going to preach until you give up the will to live. Amen. And give your life to Christ. That's not staying in step with the Spirit. Because sometimes the Spirit says, don't say anything. Sometimes the Spirit says, say something. Sometimes he says to Philip, I know you're having a revival, but go down the way of the desert. You're going to meet a eunuch from Ethiopia. Give up what you're doing and go there. But the Spirit will only work in line with what Jesus would do. And Jesus would only work in line with what the Word would do. And this is where GPS, God, the person of Christ and the Spirit. GPS. It means you'll always be in the right place at the right time for God to release his blessing, not just on you, but on other people. It's so vital that with the darkness coming into the world, we've got to work out where to step and how to step carefully, not just for us, that we don't shipwreck our own faith, but shipwreck those around us. And you might say, well, that's obvious because you're the minister of the church. It's your responsibility to look after us. And it is. But guess what? It's your responsibility to look after you. And the people on the left and right. It's not just the chosen job of the chosen few. It's all of our responsibility. Because what God wants is that none of us get left behind. And we all get there. That's why if someone's missing, go and find them. They might just have a shift today. But they might be upside down backwards in a hedge. How do you know? If we're all capable of doing these things, it means sooner or later one of us is going to do it. So can we have a bit of mercy with each other when someone mucks up? We shouldn't shoot our wounded. Amen? You find a way to bring them back. Even if they're having a dark time and they're away from church, you pray for them, you love them, and you do all that you can to bring them back. And find a way and just bring them back in. So may you ask God to give you a fresh love for his word. May the Holy Spirit give you a fresh view of Jesus Christ and who he was. And may you become so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that the merest touch of breath on your cheek will turn your head. Then, the Word of God says, that you will see the floodgates of heaven open and the pouring of blessing on you so much that you won't hold it and that there'll be an overflow to those around you. So may God bless you and make you a blessing wherever you go. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that all your ways are good and you love us and you want us to walk through this world safely and soundly. We can't detect whatever everybody else does, but we can determine what we do. Father, you have determined a path for us. I pray that we would become a people determined to walk that path, regardless of the cost. Lord, in that first verse it says our heart wants to do one thing. I pray that you'd help each one of us deal with our flesh. Paul says we're to take it out, Lord, and crucify it. Well, Lord, I pray you'd help us get a bucket of nails and a hammer. And each time it wants to do its own thing, we only do those things we see you do. Help us with a love of your word. Where it's got boring and dry, I pray it'll come to life in 3D. Pray, Lord Jesus, that you would reveal yourself through the scripture. That we would just follow you. And Holy Spirit, would you come afresh to each person here. That we might live our lives in step with you. Not in front, not behind, or not to the side. Father, you know we're only flesh. We're not all first class honours students in being Christians, Lord. But teach us your ways, we pray. For not only our own good, but for the good of our families and our church and the Isle of Man. That we can be a blessing to this generation. That this generation would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. So pray you bless people. The blessing of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be upon you. And guide you, comfort you, strengthen you, and enable you to do all things to the glory of God. Amen.